The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the dominion of heaven and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvesting." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The dominion of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This past week, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, the Southern Baptist Convention, met for their church convention. The most newsworthy outcome of this gathering is that they affirmed by a huge margin of votes that women have no authority to preach, teach, or otherwise lead in any of their congregations. Churches which violate this order will be removed from the convention and lose their voting rights. It is interesting to note that the debate over the location of next year's convention took longer than the debate over the authority of women to preach the gospel. Now, this may seem like news that doesn't affect us much here in Cambridge, or certainly not at University Lutheran Church in Cambridge. But keep in mind that the Southern Baptist Convention has approximately 12.3 million members and 50,000 churches in their communion. And this means that countless girls and women are learning that their voices don't matter, and especially, specifically, that God's words do not belong in their mouths or on their lips. Some of those young women will be students on our campuses that we serve here today. And some of them will hold office in our country. And some of them will hopefully find their way into UniLU or a church like ours. But many of them may leave the pews and never come back. Now, to be fair, the Orthodox and Catholic churches also only ordain men to the priesthood. And our Lutheran cousin, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, also does not ordain women. And it's also true that some of our sibling Protestant churches will ordain women, but not gay people. So, no women, no gay folks, no immigrants, no one who doesn't sing our hymns or know our liturgy, no one who has not jumped through the hoops of our candidacy and ordination process. Martin Luther King once said, "Sunday morning is the most segregated day of the week," and that is still mostly true. A colleague of mine, a retired pastor who stands 5 foot 5 inches tall, shared with me that when he was in the ordination process years ago, he was told that he was too short to be respected as a pastor. Oh, how we love to create barriers trying to stop the gospel from resting on the wrong lips. Trying to stop the gospel from being in the mouths of the wrong people. Meanwhile, Jesus is concerned with getting the good news out to as many ears as possible. And to this end, Jesus filled his first leadership team with a diverse group of people. So in his first 12 that he sent out, there was Matthew, the tax collector, a former collaborator with the Roman Empire. And he was sent out to work alongside Simon the Zealot, in other words, a political radical. I imagine this would be a bit like sending out someone with a MAGA hat to preach with Bernie Sanders. An unlikely pairing, to be sure. Also in the mix was Judas, who would eventually betray Jesus, and Peter, who would deny Jesus 3 times. Now, did Jesus, the Son of God, know exactly how Peter and Judas would fall short eventually? We could debate the nature of Jesus and what he knew and didn't know, but I think the point is that even Judas, nevertheless, whatever we think about what Jesus knew or didn't know, even Judas was given the authority to preach, to teach, and to heal alongside the others. So Jesus didn't send out perfect people, but he did send each one out with the good news on their lips and with a mission to uphold. Now, there are no women named in this listing of the 12, to be sure, but we have heard again and again in Scripture the important role that women had in the early church. There was Lydia, a seller of purple cloth, who welcomed the apostles to stay with her and then saw to it that her entire household was baptized. And there was Mary Magdalene, who by some accounts was as close as any of the apostles to Jesus and was with him to the very end. And of course, there are the female saints of old and of more recent times. I am thinking of the preacher Jerina Lee, a black woman who was the first woman preacher in the African Methodist Episcopal Church in the early 1800s. Now, at that time, the authorities of the church said that she couldn't preach because she was a woman. So she said, well, I'm not going to preach, I'm just going to give a testimony. And so she would stand in the pulpit and she would give a testimony. In 1836, Jerina Lee became the first black woman to publish an autobiography entitled The Life and Religious Experience of Jerina Lee. And then a few years later, in 1852, the African Methodist Episcopal Church ruled that women were no longer allowed to preach. And after this, the historical record of Jerina Lee has disappeared completely. Oh, how we work to rein in the movement of the gospel. Amen? Consider, however, how Jesus looked upon us. When Jesus looked out in the crowds who had brought all of themselves, their illnesses, their fears, their needs, their sorrows, rather than seeing them as a bottomless pit of neediness, Jesus saw them as a harvest. He saw them as ones who would potentially be able to share their faith with others. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, said Jesus. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into the harvest." In other words, pray that God will move those in the crowd to join in our mission to a hurting world. To the sick, the weary, the lost. Ask those people in the crowd. Who's in the crowd? Men, women, children. Jesus saw each of them as potential preachers and teachers and healers. Ask the Lord. Jesus' admonition to the disciples to ask, to pray, is a reminder that the church is not out here doing it on our own. We, the church, are not entrepreneurs trying to figure out the newest, greatest thing to do. We are commissioned to continue in a work that was constituted by God, instituted by God, and revealed to us through Jesus, our brother, and his healing, teaching, and preaching ministry. This is a shared mission. It's a co-mission. Amen? Together we are sent out. And still, yes, it can feel like too much. It may seem that there is simply too much to do sometimes. How do we meet the needs of everyone who comes to our door at Unilu? How do we pay for a roof and a kitchen? How do we meet the needs of all in our community and also make sure that the needs and the things in our houses are in order? I don't know all the answers. I really don't. But again, I do know that Jesus reminded us and reminded the disciples when they were sent out to pray. Prayer is an essential part of what we do as the church. It matters that we meet on Sunday, whether online or in person. It matters that we pray for each other and for the mission of the church. It matters because we have heard and we have seen that God answers. Not always as we had hoped or that we had thought would be the possible solution, but God does answer. The God who raised Jesus from the tomb can certainly raise a roof. Can I get an amen? Amen. And still, we humans try to put up barriers and build walls to keep the gospel, the good news, in a corner. The Lord of the harvest is always sending out laborers for the kingdom. Again and again, the good news is preached to us and through us in surprising ways. Sometimes the good news is preached from the mouths of strangers. One Sunday in Jerusalem, a visitor from South Africa was with us, and this was during the Advent season. Our practice was always to welcome visitors at the end of the service to stand and say where they were from, because we had people from all around the world. And so Ntutuko stood up and said, "I'm from South Africa," and then he said, "I would like to sing a song." And you know, in a different time and in a different place, I may have said, "We already have a postlude and it's already printed in the bulletin, we already have a plan." But on that day, I said yes. And so Ntutuko stood up and sang in Zulu, "Silent Night, Holy Night." And he sang without accompaniment, a clear African voice resounding in an 11th century crusader chapel, so far from his home, but so close to the place where our Lord was born. There was deep silence after he sang. And that was gospel. That was exactly what we needed that day in a city torn apart by war, by occupation, and by fear, where we were just trying to hold together a little bit of Christmas anticipation and joy. Dear ones, the harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few, and God is sending laborers out into our midst. And some of these laborers are strangers with a beautiful song to share. Some of them are young people with new perspectives on what it means to be Christians today. Some of them, we may want to remind our Southern Baptist cousins, might even be women. Amen? Amen. But hear this, you may not be a preacher, but you can let everyone you meet know that they are loved, that they are made in God's image, that they are imbued with the Spirit of God to do what they are called to do and to be who they are called to be. And so I leave you all all of us with this commission. Be bold in the claiming of the gospel for the whole creation. Be brave in the lifting up of the life of God in every place. Be firm in carrying the holy name of Jesus Christ into the palaces of worldly power. Be gentle in the understanding of ourselves and one another. And may the songs of the Creator sound with love in all the earth. The tenderness of Christ Jesus cover the wounds of the people, and the truth and the Holy Spirit rise free in every age. And let the people say amen.
Amen.